Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Been asking all day, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If Steph keeps playing like this and the Warriors lose, but Steph keeps this stuff up, just giving them buckets, especially in the second half when they need it most, is he the MVP even if the Warriors lose the series? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also hit us up on Twitter at KeyJandMax. Guys, we got some stuff to get to, NBA Finals stuff today. But right now, we have Vince Carter coming up in 10 minutes.
VC!
Yeah. We're still going to play, believe it or not. I mean, we have a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it right now. But, guys, we need to get back to what Amari Stoudemire just had to say. He just said it. Listen to Amari moments ago on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. This is on Anthony Davis not picking up a basketball since April 5th. Listen to this.
I don't like the way that sounds.
See?
What usual? What do you mean that, usual?
Thank you.
You need to do more than usual.
Yes.
Because you want to win a championship. The Lakers is the franchise you want to stick with. You want to win a championship. You got to go outside of your normal workout routine. You was injured all year. You know what I'm saying? You got to do a lot more than what you've been used to doing.
Do you think he loves the game?
I don't know if he does. I don't know if he does. Because if you do, you would definitely be doing something outside of your usual workout regimen. Mm-hmm. For sure, man.
Jay?
I mean, I don't know what else you guys need me to say. Stat came on here, repeated what I said essentially because we agreed about it. I rarely find people that if there's no passion there, right? Like that to me seems like a not passionate person. Like not to do something that's your craft, especially with y'all that make the playoffs, man. You need to make the playoffs in the Western Conference after we expanded it. Like when I see LeBron James in the lab, you know what time it is. And, kid, I guess that's the part I'm wondering about. If LeBron James is your teammate, it's like I was saying the stat. I'm like, hey, Phoenix has one of the best training facilities and medical staff there is in the entire league. People fly to Phoenix to go have their medical staff look at them for injuries. I'm like, Stat, did you utilize it? He's like, every single day, because they were there. If LeBron James, who puts $1 million into his body every single year and is durable, is your teammate, is your ride-along dog, like, why not be training with him every single day? I don't understand that.
Maybe it's not his ride-along dog. Maybe it's not. Maybe, you know, just because you are rep by the same agency, just because you play on the same team, doesn't mean that you have the same regimen in the off season, so to speak. And I think Anthony Davis is probably concentrating more on the health part of it because that's really why he's been missing time. And that's why he's been ineffective for the Lakers is because of the health. Now, 2 months sounds like a long time listening to you guys talk about 2 months off not touching the basketball. Sounds like a long time because both of you are very adamant about him not touching a basketball in 2 months. If it was football and somebody said, well, you didn't run routes for 2 months, I use my legs, I'm in shape, I'm running, I'm lifting, I don't need to go throw. It's a little bit different. I look at a couple things too, Jay. You know, California is good to you, man. Mm. LA's lifestyle is really good to you when you're a professional athlete. And a lot of times, history has shown now, when guys get to California, sometimes things change their approach. It's just for whatever reason, Max, I don't know what it is. And it's not the water. You know how they say the water is different in New York, the bagels, that sort of thing?
It's a good life.
No, bagels.
That's what they always try to tell what you.
What it is, what it is when you get to L.A., if you live there, I lived there for 6 years, right? That you feel like, in a way, like you made it, but you also feel like you quit the rat race. You're not in the rat race anymore.
Man, who you telling?
So and you grew up there and then had to spend time in other places and then got to go back home. And it feels – so maybe that's what it is. It's the grind sometimes for some is not the same because they feel like they made it. Here's an interesting thing to me about AD, guys. And I was like, he's a top five player. He's better than this one and that one. But when I look back at it, he had Jrue Holiday in New Orleans. They weren't advancing in the playoffs. They really didn't advance. And I saw him beat, I want to say it was the Spurs. I'm trying to think if it was like the last game of the season.
Blazers.
The Spurs in a game that the Spurs really needed for playoff seeding. And AD carried him past the play. And, you know, it's not that he's not a great player, but Jay, when you talk about like passion and what Amari Stoudemire is talking about.
So many things wrong here, Max.
But they never advanced. Like, Jrue Holiday is a tremendous – you look at what Jrue Holiday's doing in Milwaukee. Okay, they don't – even if they got a little lucky to win the championship, whatever, but they're advancing. They weren't – AD wasn't advancing in the playoffs.
So it's been 2 months and 8 days since he's touched a basketball, shot a basketball, which is crazy to me. That's number one. It's like – I'm talking about shot a basketball.
Do you think he's just talking, or you think that's real?
I don't. Why would you lie about it? Why would you just say that?
Well, you know, not necessarily lie, but you know how some people just get up there and just
start being sarcastic. Oh
yeah, just saying stuff.
I don't know, but I'm acting like it's real because for me, you always go take a ball and just shoot a couple like at the playground. Like that's mind-boggling to me. And when he's like, "Oh, well, my regular routine is," I think that's the thing that probably got Stat and I the most angry. Right.
Your regular routine, you need to do something different.
Why are you, like, your regular routine has led you to play so many less games over the past two seasons. You haven't been available. So there should be something new about your routine. You should be talking about how you're exploring the boundaries key to work on your body or what you're doing differently for endurance or your strength. Talk to me about that.
Could he hide if he was in another location? Meaning, like,
and he was hiding in New Orleans.
That's what I mean. The fact that he is in Los Angeles playing with the Lakers and LeBron James brings more light to some of the things that's going on with him.
1,000%. You know that.
Yeah, I just asked the question because if he says he's not changing anything, and I'm looking at it, I'm saying, well, he said that here, but he's in L.A., so therefore we are really paying attention to it, and I'm trying to find him an out. I'm really trying to help him. But I can't seem to find help for him, right? I'm trying, and I'm hoping that what he said is that he made a mistake by saying I hadn't touched the basketball for 2 months. I'm hoping that he's just being tongue-in-cheek. I'm hoping those sort of things because if I'm LeBron James or I'm the Lakers front office, I'm not very happy at one of my top frontline guys because I know Westbrook is playing basketball right now, even though he doesn't know his future. So to speak, he's getting run.
Talk about a guy who
right
loves exactly. ball. Yeah.
Well, him saying that leads you to this thought. It really makes you wonder about, will Anthony Davis ever reach the ceiling of his greatness because he doesn't have the drive? Like, does he have the drive to get himself there? It doesn't feel like it when you hear things like this. Am I wrong?
I once thought the guy with the best chance to replace Tim Duncan as the greatest power forward of all time was Anthony Davis. I don't think that anymore. If there is a guy, I don't know if Tim Duncan will be replaced by anybody anytime soon, but if you had to pick a power forward at this point, you'd pick Giannis with the best shot, right? And Giannis clearly has the passion and the love. It's written all over him all the time.
Yeah, every time I see them go head-to-head, it seems like to me Giannis always gets the best of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Giannis is more skilled.
And worked on his body. Look at Giannis when he came in the league versus now. Look at Steph when he came in the league. One of the reasons Steph, I think, is playing this way, Steph is brolic now.
Well, we talk about Draymond, the reason why he hasn't worked on his game. And that's the same question for AD. Like, all right. Like, we know what you bring to the table, but have you worked on your body? That's been lingering around AD for the last couple of years
now. Also, I wonder when it comes to Draymond, like, you know, the time was he shot 38% from three. Of course, when no one had ever seen a Warrior-style offense before,
it was new.
Steph is creating all this space. No one knew how to react to it. There was more time for him to shoot, right? But still,
there's still a lot of time for him to shoot.
Yeah, still, like, it's an interesting thing where you say, well, work on his game, but Draymond Green has such a good overall game. That's how we got there. But as soon as you stop, the reason, like, Jay, we have this argument, when you're saying better, not greater. Right, every generation the players get better because they could build on what came before them, and they keep working at it, keep refining it. it doesn't stop even for the great ones. You got to keep working on it. You got to keep adapting, right?
Man, we had one dude on our team. His name was Dante Jones. I'll never forget this. And we were playing in college, and Dunleavy had a chance to swing the ball over, and he didn't really swing it over. And, you know, Dante was like, yo, I was open. And Dunleavy was like, well, you're open for a reason, man. Like, you're not a three-point shooter. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't swing the ball over, but for certain guys, like, you not taking a shot, you at least have to absorb that space, right? So if you're not going to shoot, drive, but the defense plays so far off you that the lanes are packed. So eventually, that's what I'm saying for Ime Udoka tonight in game five. You got to force Draymond make decisions. Are you a scorer? Are you a facilitator? But you have to choose.
This whole conversation started with Amari Stoudemire giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. All right, let's bring Vince Carter into this conversation.
What's up, fellas?
What up, VC?
VC, what do you think of AD not picking up a basketball since April 5th, which is 2 months?
It's strange, and I get it. It's not off season, and he can say, you know, he wants to enjoy. But he said he has this burning desire to get back to the finals, and he wants to prove that he's top five. And if he wants to continue to show that, get in the gym. It doesn't have to be 2 hours going hard, but like get it back. Get like Jay, I heard you say working on your body for AD. That's important too. Getting in the gym, working on your body. While you're working on your body, shoot some jump shots. It's, you know how it goes. You lift weights, you go shoot it off a little bit. For us basketball players, a little different football. But I just can't imagine that if he's saying he wants to get back to that level, and that is showing right there the difference between he and some of the other greatest players. Like, you know, would you think Kobe, LeBron, and those guys haven't been in the gym? Or, you know, if you're particularly after an injury like that, no, they're burning and itching to get back to prove and shut up the naysayers. So I just think that's just the difference right now. AD just, you know, he has to change that. He has to change that to if he wants to continue to fix that narrative as well about his health.
See, VC, in football, you don't have to throw the ball around with a quarterback mm-hmm. as long as you're doing football acclimated things, cone right. drills, ladders, you're out there lifting weights, you're running. You're doing those sort right. of things. That way your cardio is the way it's supposed to be. How long, in terms of you, VC, you taking off after a season and not touching a basketball in your career?
So, young, it changed. Younger Vince, you know, it was a little different. You know, it was different than, you know, I was younger. Yeah, I could bounce back to whatever. Unless I was coming back off an injury. After an injury, you kind of – now you got to just stay in the gym and – make sure you're staying on top of that injury, making sure the other parts of your body, you know, you're even now. Because you easy when you're rehabbing, you tend to put that focus on that injured area or everything around that injured area. And I'm not going to say you forget about the rest of your body, but, you know, you're unbalanced and you want to get balanced. And that's kind of the thing. And sometimes you see guys when they come back from a major injury, they come back and hurt something else. So, you know, as a young guy, I'd probably take a month, maybe, but as I got older, it was maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks. Mm. Just because for me, when I was older and I wanted to continue to play basketball, I didn't want to let myself get out of shape and have to work that hard to get back in shape. So at least I was in some shape. So as the summer progressed, I had like the middle of the summer, I should be here. So when it's time to really go hard to get in shape, to get ready for camp, I was already there. It was important for me because I was playing in my 40s. So I had to prove that I can still compete at 40 and be ready to go from the beginning.
8-time NBA All-Star, 2-time All-NBA team player, Vince Carter, ESPN NBA analyst, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. VC, I am curious, talking about game five tonight. Are we going to keep seeing Boston play in drop coverage, man? Are we going to keep seeing them in the same rotations we see? Like, is it just, we'll limit everybody else and we'll let Steph cook?
I'm convinced that's what it's going to see because, I mean, obviously the adjustments we have, I mean, that we've seen adjustments, but that hasn't been the adjustment. Like, they're corralling so more so than blitzing. And I say, are they just saying, we don't want to allow everyone, like you're saying, to get going. We're going to make Draymond beat us because if you double team, Steph also has that ability to get his ball back. He's great off the ball. Mm-hmm. He's great out of double teams, particularly with Draymond. He throws out of the double team and sprints right to the middle of the floor typically. Draymond hits him and everything is open. And what did you really take away? Nothing, because now what you've taken away is your ability to stay in front of the defender. So I think we're going to see that drop coverage right now. And I don't know. I mean, it's just hard to it's a hard coverage. It's a hard guard when Steph is playing like this.
It is. VC, you were on this, Justin, when I said my max fact that day was,
I was.
Steph is going to do it, get it done in the fourth quarter. This is going to be the year where he wins the MVP and all that, right? And you agreed and all that, and he has so far. But my question is this. People look at me like I got six heads when I was saying that, like he didn't have to do this to show something new. But why? Because now everyone's looking. LeBron and D-Wade are texting and say, oh, my God, Steph Curry. But partly that's because we haven't seen this from him before in the finals when they've needed it most from him. No KD. Can you go supernova in the second half of must-win games in the finals? He's doing it now. Doesn't that mean I was right that we needed that we hadn't seen this before?
Well, yeah, I mean, at the same time, and maybe people won't agree with this when I say it, his effectiveness in the fourth quarter sometimes is not always having to shoot the ball. Because, there again, he's such a tough guard. If you continue sending Steph off of double screens up top or under the basket, guess what the defense is saying every time he's rotating too? There's Steph, there's Steph. And you have Clay. But now I think he's seeing, okay, when he's coming off these double teams now, no, give me the ball. Or now they're not doing as much as that of that. Honestly, they're putting the ball more of his hand and put him in the pick and rolls because of what Jay just asked about, the drop coverage. They're going to play pick and roll, and the big is going to be where? Oh, man, I just need a little window and let it fire. So I think they've gone away from movement offense and playing more pick and roll offense where you're seeing what you want to see, Max, and that's, you know, Steph able to take advantage of that. They're more team-oriented. Team-oriented where the ball is going to find the right guy. And, of course, you know, when Steph needs it, but playing one-on-one against the Boston Celtics is not in Golden State's favor. Mm-hmm. But playing in pick-and-roll right now is in Golden State's favor. So they're sticking to it. And I think now you're seeing that question being answered because of that.
Mm-hmm. VC, we've seen Steph be the best player on the floor. And one of the things I saw against the Brooklyn Nets, felt like Jason Tatum had the best performance on the floor, right? And KD went through his challenges on that. You kind of felt like versus Giannis, he had that one 43-point masterpiece and that 80 points in two games. Even versus the Heat, like he averaged 28 points in the last two games. What we've seen thus far of him, like he has not really arrived yet to the NBA Finals. How does he get himself going?
I feel like every time I'm asked this, I'm saying the same thing. And so he has to continue to attack first, get downhill, get fouled, get to the free throw line, get close to the basket, and then work your way out instead of the other way around. And he's had great games. But check this out. Here's the thing that's kind of, tough for him. And this is, there again, my opinion. He's playing with another superstar, 1B, which is Jaylen Brown. So when you're a superstar on your team by yourself and you're struggling, you need to get yourself, you take more shots, you be more aggressive. Well, he can now take a step back and allow Jaylen Brown, who's playing great, who in my opinion, if Boston Celtics win, he should be the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
He should be the MVP if they win because of what he's done consistently. Even when Jason Tatum's been up and down, that guy has been consistent and been balling. And he's setting the tone. Game three, he set the tone with I think it was 17 points.
Yep.
He finished with 27. But he set the tone early, and he was consistent. He wasn't dominant. He was consistent. But what? He was tired. Guess what he was able to do? Tap out Jason Tatum now to get going. So there wasn't any pressure for Jason Tatum to really implement himself and just be uber aggressive early because he has another guy to do so. So I think if Jason's in a tough situation where, I say just attack downhill, but when you got that other guy who's starting games off like that, you can be a little passive. I don't use the word passive, but you can be a little passive.
Defer. Yeah, you can defer.
As I say, you can be a little passive and defer to him, but still be engaged in the game. And then now it's like, ooh, now all eyes are on Jaylen Brown as opposed to their superstar, Jason Tatum, which it always is on him. But now that this guy is cooking, they're like, ooh, we got to play both. And then Jason Tatum can now play a little more one-on-one with late help. The coverage is a little late now because of Jaylen Brown.
You know what kills me, though, VC, like watching him play? Like sometimes I'm like, come on, Boston. Like, stop having these self-inflicted wounds. Stop turning the ball over. That last 3.5 minutes. Yeah, man, that last 3.5 minutes of the ball game in game four, VC, they were sloppy with the ball and their execution. Yeah. And by the way, like they took a ton of threes. I'm like, don't be that young team that is now being reflective of how Golden State plays. That's not your
game.
And
how they play.
Yeah.
And that's how they play. Their defense plays against guys. They want you to take those, you know, tough threes when, you know, it's all erratic and everything's going on. You know, I mean, they have the ability to go one-on-one when they need it or to get moving and get downhill because they have two guys who can draw fouls and get their own bucket. And it's like, no, stop shooting that three. Okay, yes, you get a little window, but you haven't made it. Get in the paint, you know. So yeah, I agree.
VC, what you think about Steve Kerr pulling Draymond and allowing him basically get a
this
cup
is
of
my,
water?
This is my favorite. Oh man, let me tell you something. I don't even see why this is a question. I don't even see what's the argument. My opinion, because I'm like, this was the right call for one. It's going to be a game-to-game adjustment. It was adjustment. But at that moment, they needed scoring. Draymond Green is not scoring. He's not looking at the rim. I think it was a stat where he had 17 points and 18 fouls or something like that. Something crazy. 17 points in four games. So at that moment, they didn't need – it wasn't the defense that they needed. They could bring in Otto Porter, you know, to give them a little defense, but they needed shooting. They needed scoring. They needed to see the ball go in to get, you know, extend the lead. So I think it was the right decision, and I think you'll see it again. But I think Steve Kerr learned something from game four against Dallas when his young group got them back into the game. Then the thing that drove me crazy is he did the mass sub to bring the starters back in when he should have just implemented a few starters into what the young guys are – the way the young guys are playing, few at a time. But he put the starters in. Starters didn't get done. Dallas blows the lead up, wins the game. So I thought he just made the right decision. You know, that's just a sign of a great coach for me. Right now, you're not giving us what we need right now. Put your pride aside and let's win a championship.
That's the great
and shout out to Draymond Green. Said, hey, I was pissed, but I wanted to be on the floor, but you know that's what we needed right now, and I want to win. Boom.
See, he just kept going because he wanted to hear me call him the great Vince Carter again. That's three times I'm going to call him the great Vince Carter. The great Vince Carter, ladies and gentlemen. VC, always great talking to you.
VC, you ever rock capris? Max got
capris?
Some capris.
These are khakis. I have to roll them up. And so when I sit down, they ride up a little, Vince, and I'm hearing it all day.
Oh, that happens to me. I got a longer leg. You know, I get it.
Yeah. What if you have short legs?
You're short, man. Jay, you're short, bro. Oh, my bad. We're not going to start this again.
You hear how the voice goes
horrible.
Way up?
You're horrible,
boy, you know you get under Jay's skin when the voice goes way up.
I'm not going to say that. But he's able to have longer pants.
Yeah.
Where if he sits down, it's still to his ankles because he's.
You are a mean person, Vince. You are you are a North Carolina bully. That's
see,
who you
I'm,
are.
I'm comparing your your ability to really, you know, Keyshawn and I go into the store, we buy pants, it's like, all right, this is gonna have
to work.
Because
y'all go into the big and tall stores. No other human being goes in the big and tall store.
That.
You're buying off the rack. And it's okay.
Yes, exactly.
It's good for you. Thank you, Vince.
You can buy off the rack anywhere, Jay. That's a luxury.
Bye, Vince.
He said you're in the kids section, Jay. What's going?
He did not say that.
I thought he said that. Don't do that.
You're smaller than me.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah. A former MVP is headed to minicamp. Key tells you if it's hot news or not news.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, it is time for Believe It or Not. Evan, take it away.
All right, guys. Did you see this breaking news this morning? That Lamar Jackson officially showing up to mini camp. So, Key, Lamar Jackson showing up to camp is a big deal, believe it or not.
Not. I don't think it's a big deal at all. He's going to always show up to mini camp. He doesn't want to get fined. Nobody doesn't go to mini camp. You don't go to mini camp per the collective bargaining agreement. You will get fined, and I think the maximum is like $88,000. No one's trying to just give a team $88,000.
No. Nah. Yeah. Makes sense.
I'm with Key on that one. That's simple for me.
It is weird. Like, what does Lamar want? And, like that's what I want to know. He acts
what trick does he have up his sleeve? I need to know.
Does he want out?
Does he want more money?
I mean, everyone wants more money, right? But, like, sometimes I wonder, does he want to be there? I don't know.
Maybe he wants a big-time wide receiver.
Yeah, could be. They haven't given him one yet.
Nice, yeah.
All right, Tua is more accurate than Patrick Mahomes, as Tyreek Hill says, believe it or not, Key.
Believe it. I believe that he is more accurate than him on in T-shirts and shorts, on screens and five-yard outs and shallow crosses from the line of scrimmage, 5 yards and below from the line of scrimmage. Yes, he is more accurate than Patrick Mahomes.
Why did you say 5 yards and below?
Because once you get over five, Patrick Mahomes is more accurate.
Yeah.
It's easy to be accurate on jet sweeps, right?
Exactly.
Hey, listen, Kansas City Chiefs
just
fan.
Underhand. A yard away.
Let's try to get some objectivity in here, James. Thank you.
Pretty accurate on little flips.
Well, I mean, listen, if as Brandon Marshall says, Tua's been a slow blinker so far, that's not Mahomes. And then Mahomes has a cannon for an arm, right? So, like, the reason Tua's in the league, he has to be accurate. He has to be, especially when you're not throwing the ball down the field. So, yeah, I for the same reason Key is saying, I believe it, but it doesn't really capture the truth.
Well, we'll find out very, very soon.
Derek Carr and Aaron Rodgers are similar from a talent and ability standpoint, as Devontae Adams said. Believe it or not, Key.
I believe it. I mean, a lot of guys are close. You know, we sensationalize and glorify certain players in these leagues because that's what we want to do. But when you really break it down and you're out on the field with certain guys, you know nothing. It's really not that big of a difference, especially for a wide receiver. Throwing the football, catching it from Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr, probably pretty much the same to Devontae Adams.
Who has better arm strength?
I think Aaron Rodgers.
Even at the age, older?
Yeah, it just comes out different. That's all.
Yeah.
I don't believe it because I do. I appreciate, Key, your point that at the top of the sport, it's much closer than people realize, right? But Rodgers is the dude who practically invented. I could go off platform and make all these crazy throws and still never turn the ball over. The dude's throwing 40 TDs and 5 interceptions. He's just a little different.
But I want to tell you about that. That has nothing to do with what Devontae Adams or Evan is asking. That has more to do with your brain. Interceptions is about brain. It ain't about arm strength or talent.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
about
yeah.
your brain.
But isn't that part of the whole package?
When you see something and you throw it to the other team, even though the guy has a different color on, that's your brain.
So if you put Rodgers' brain in Carr's body is what you're saying, is he could also do 40 and 5.
Yeah, same thing.
I got you.
Got to do my brain.
Got to do my brain.
Got to do the brain.
You got a big brain.
Oh. Okay.
You got big airwaves in your nose.
That's not the nose conversation now. Because I'm sure a lot of people out there would want to stick a cucumber up your nostrils.
What?
Nobody wants to stick a cucumber up anybody's nostrils,
wow.
You nasty ass.
You're the only person I know nostrils is wide enough to hold a
your
cucumber.
Your nostrils are bigger than me.
Yeah, right.
Look at your head and your neck.
You got a Michael Jackson before surgery nose.
Jeez. Oh, my.
Dan Graziano pulled a bunch
Leave
of
Michael
executives who predicted that Jimmy G and Baker Mayfield would be released. Believe it or not, Jimmy G, Baker Mayfield will both be released. Key?
I believe it. I believe it in
Wait,
because
what was
I think
question?
Baker will be released, and I think Jimmy G will be on another team. I'm starting to believe that.
Max, Jimmy G, Baker Mayfield will be released.
I don't believe it. I think you got to get something for these guys, and I think there will be a taker. It won't be a whole lot, but there'll be a taker.
All right. Key.
Well, you're skipping over me?
Yeah, you're being a child, and then you didn't hear the question.
I'm being a child
this is
because
what we do
a
again.
Joke was told about me. I'm being it because I'm laughing.
Jeez.
Go ahead, Key.
He hasn't given me a question.
Make
anymore.
A
what
cucumber joke, and all of a sudden, Jay turns into a kindergartner.
But he didn't tell the joke, though.
I didn't even tell the joke.
That wasn't a joke. I'm serious.
Unbelievable.
If the guy, if they, a Persian cucumber because they're a little smaller.
Evan, can you stay focused on your job, Evan?
Yeah, I can.
Next question.
Okay.
Why are you laughing like a little kid? Focus.
If James Garoppolo is released, the Seahawks should run to sign him. That's a quote from Lewis Riddick. The Seahawks should run to sign him, Key.
Believe it. If that was to happen, Seattle would run to sign him. Not only because of his ability, but also because of the brain that he has to retain the information that he was given from Kyle Shanahan to pass along to Seattle, and it helps him out when they play him.
I believe it. Would Jimmy G get them to the playoffs?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's a better quarterback than the two that's there, right,
Understood.
Max?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's a long-term answer, though.
By the way, and Baker, to me, seems like the guy for Seattle. You know? Just
ooh!
I
said, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a thought, that's all.
Oh, okay.
Sparked the thought that you're not going to share?
No, because we're up against it.
Oh, okay.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, if they wanted to, they can probably sign Jimmy G, part ways with one of those other two quarterbacks in a trade to pick up some assets, and still sign Baker Mayfield.
Mm. Mm. Wow. That's a good point. Why Draymond Green's issues in this final may back to the offseason. What's this other
Believe
one?
It or not, Jay Will's nose is the same size as Michael Jackson's original nose.
Don't you laugh,
Believe
Evan.
It or not.
Don't you laugh, Evan.
Evan's laughing.
What?
That one got me. That's next
break.
On ESPN Radio and Sirius XM
Gotta
Channel
go to
80.
Break.
Billy, you're so stupid.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
So I was very proud of my older two daughters.
Why?
They decided that my 7-year-old, Mira, has never seen Star Wars, and she should see the first 3 Star Wars. And we sat down, we had a little Star Wars marathon, we saw episodes 4, 5, and 6 of the original 3 Star Wars. She was into it. She was way into it.
Who's her favorite character? Does she have one?
Darth Vader, I would say.
Oh, the dark side.
Yeah, Darth Vader. It's a great character. Darth Vader's an all-time great character. See, Key, there's a lot of good stuff in Star Wars. There's a lot of good stuff.
I mean, it's the same as Star Trek to me. I don't.
No, it's different.
No,
it's,
to me. I'm
oh,
saying,
oh, to
I,
you. Yeah,
I
yeah,
don't
yeah.
know.
It's not the same as Star
Basically,
Trek.
Basically, you're introduced.
Man,
spaceship and some people.
Let's never compare Star Wars ever again
different.
To Star Trek.
It is very. They both take place in outer space.
Completely
that's true.
Different fan bases. You'll never make it out alive.
Yeah. What do you mean from the fan base?
From the nerd convention.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I believe that, but
You'd
I'm
be
saying
thrown right out.
I'm saying to me,
yeah,
it's if It was one beach and another beach. That's how I look at it. Same sand, water. It's the same thing. Is it?
Max, how do you feel about losing your daughter to the dark side?
Good. She immediately identified the most interesting character. See, the interesting thing about Darth Vader, Key, is in the first movie, in the first three movies, it looks like he's the antagonist, right? He's the bad guy. But when you zoom out farther, you realize, no, he's the protagonist. The story's all about him, in fact. It's interesting.
So what are they doing, fighting his face?
The loving father who's lost his way to eventually come back home.
Yeah, it's about two things. It's about someone who kind of lost their soul and their son trying to get it back for them, right? Okay. And it's also about
Luke Skywalker.
Yes. Luke Skywalker's the son, yeah.
There you go.
And it's also about how a republic becomes an empire.
Well,
it's not an external threat. It's a threat from inside.
What's the little gold,
right, dude? We face
the size of Evan.
Crisis right now. Huh?
What's the little gold, dude?
C2.
Yoda? You're saying Evan? It reminds you of Yoda?
That's the ugly R2-D2.
Dude. Oh, R2-D2.
Yeah,
R2-D2.
Is he in there?
R2-D2's in there all
day.
Is that who Evan is?
He's a comic relief and also strategically very important. R2-D2 is a trusty droid.
Leave Evan alone.
C-3PO, R2-D2, Chewbacca. Boba Fett. Yeah. See?
I've seen that. It did one of the amusement parks.
Who's Yates? Which character is Yates?
It's
Yates. I don't want to call him.
He's the dude with the big beard.
No, I'm not calling him Chewbacca.
Why?
Sensitive times. Can't.
Yates is which character in there always got an opinion about something? He's angry about something.
Yeah. I don't know enough about Star Wars to be dangerous.
Who is that character?
Always Yates is like that dude at the bar who started to pick a fight with Obi-Wan. You got to be careful, Yates. Someone's going to use that lightsaber to chop your arm off if you keep picking fights.
Hey, man, bring the smoke. Y'all got 10 seconds.
He could be Obi-Wan. New episode coming out 2 days, Max.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait.
Stoked about it.
Oh, my. Oh, the whole Darth.
Of Star Wars?
Oh, Obi-Wan, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Darth Vader gets down in there. Series.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't remember being asked this question yesterday.
Evan Wilner.
I am being dragged under the mud. Dragged under the mud.
What? I didn't know you could get dragged under the mud.
You get dragged under the mud.
You get dragged under the mud.
A lot of things
this
Evan needs to get off his chest. He's quitting. When Evan got off the seat, he had to jump off the seat. His feet weren't already
when he landed, Jay.
You know what I was most offended by this whole segment? When Evan started giving me advice on the khakis. Like, what do you do with your Dockers, Evan?
Do is tell you on them Dockers. If he move wrong, they can split.
Leave this man alone.
What you mean? The thing's so tight, he couldn't put a wallet in his...
Those spandex?
Yeah. Why are you wearing skims?
Oh, yeah, you called for this one. This had a rabbit and a hat. Hat and a dollar.
All right. We're done playing bully today.
No.
Yeah, we're nice people. I swear.
I didn't think anyone was being bullied on today's show.
I got a cucumber stuck up my nose.
What?
It's better to
shut up.
To add insult to injury, he stuck the cucumber up your nose, and Evan told you to stop complaining.
And Evan was laughing.
No, he blamed it on you. He's like, Jay, did your nose land on another cucumber?
And I'm laughing. He's angry at me for laughing, but yet he was laughing at Key's joke. I don't understand.
Well, you called my nose big, so I retaliated.
You called my nose big first.
Are you not entertained?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, Draymond Green was taken out in the fourth quarter of a finals game, and Steve Kerr was asked about it. He was put back in, but when he was taken out, the Golden State Warriors went on a run and took control of the game. Steve Kerr was asked about it afterward.
He's the ultimate competitor. Came back in, made huge plays down the stretch, finishes the game with 4 steals, 8 assists, 9 boards. Look, this is a tough series for him to score because of Boston's size and athleticism, but he's still impacting the game at a huge level. And he knows we're just going to do whatever it takes to win. We got a lot of guys who can contribute. A lot of guys did that tonight, and we got it done, and whatever it takes in game 5.
Look, man, all the media people can sit up there and talk about people's greatness and say, is this going to forever change my perception of Draymond? I don't give a damn. We win a championship. I got 4 chips. Now, I would like to play, but if my coach develops a strategy mid-game that helps us get there, then it's a strategy.
But you played.
Yeah, and you did play down the stretch.
Draymond is playing.
But you know how people love to tie that kid into like
the what was the actual minutes that he missed in the fourth quarter?
Like four and a half. Three or four. Yeah.
Three minutes. Let's call it 3 for conversation sakes. He missed 3 damn minutes. They recognize as a coach, Jay, as you would do as a coach, if somebody is struggling, you're going to fix that by taking them and sitting them down, letting them watch from afar, getting the right unit on the floor to get you ahead of what you need. And when you need him in the most crucial minutes, you put him back in the game.
Dude, look, I'm with you, man. People love to kind of draw this conclusion because of what his salary is. That is the salary of somebody that you probably wouldn't take out in the fourth quarter in critical junctures of the game. Especially somebody who's known to be defensively as stout as he is, right? So I get that side of the argument. But at the end of the day, if Kevon Looney provides something different offensively that Draymond's not giving you right now.
Three minutes, coach.
That's. Hey, but
those are three big minutes, so they took over. They were about to lose the series.
Water, I'm allowing them to get some water to think about what's going on.
I mean, they were down
right
five.
But if they don't
minutes,
do that,
so it was a critical 3 minutes.
If they don't do that, they probably lose the series.
Yes, but that is a coaching genius move to be able to, at that time in the game, to recognize he's struggling, we're behind, we got to play catch up, he's a liability at this present moment for us, let's remove him. Until he doesn't become a liability again.
Well, I would say this. It's not a perfect analogy. No analogy is. But the way Dre handled it, he's competitive. Of course, he wants to be out there. It's a big deal, but he gets it. Da, da, da. I think back to the worst. Here's the one mark against Scottie Pippen, really, is that when they drew up the play for Kukoc, when Phil Jackson had Kukoc, Pippen really got mad.
But that was different.
Okay.
That has something to do with, exactly. with the fact issues. That, yeah, internal issues. You okay, got a white dude, you trying to make him something.
But he's a better shooter.
No, but Scotty Mine wasn't there.
I understand. My point is, by handling it that way, people still point to that, right?
Yeah.
The way Dre, it's not a perfect analogy, players with a lot of pride, it is hard for them to accept sometimes what's best for the team is that they have to be out of the situation or not the guy. Draymond is a great player and a team player. And when it was clear, like the coach had to do it. Dre didn't cause a problem or an issue. He's competitive. He doesn't like it, but he got it. And by the way, when he got back into the game, he played okay, and they won.
In football, plays have been called for me not to get the football, to give it to somebody else that I think I was the best option at the time. Yes, but I let it play itself out and see what it is. I mean, that you have to if you're trying to win the game.
But you know how this stuff works. Like it's interesting when a lot of talk shows, they try to find that one definitive reason, Key. Like, what's the biggest reason why Golden State lost, right? And so when your name is involved in all these headlines, they'll try to tie anything back to that. Well, is he the reason, back in 2016, they lost to the 3-1. He got, like, tie it all together.
That would be Max Kellerman.
Well, I try to actually be a great team player because never once did any coach ever call for the ball to get thrown to me and in the NFL.
Back
and
in 2016.
And yet I've never complained.
Back in 2016.
But you know what I mean, Max.
But back in 2016, if Draymond didn't get baited into getting kicked out of the game, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
I get it. That's a Max move.
Yeah.
It is. That's exactly right. You know my moves. It's true, man. Like,
but look, they do need him to play better. I mean, they need somebody else. Because we talked, obviously, with Vince Carter, who said that he thinks the game plan will be the same. I think Ime Udoka is going to throw some wrinkles in there tonight. I think you have to give some alternative looks to Steph, make him kind of reevaluate what kind of looks he's receiving on the defensive end coming off those high pick and rolls.
If Udoka figures this one out, I mean.
He's figured out every other challenge.
A rookie head coach doing this.
As soon as they do that to Steph, though, watch Clay start lighting it up again.
Yeah. Well, right. Clay still hasn't had – he's had a – typical Clay game, but he hasn't had one of those, oh, my God, you cannot – every time he touches the ball, it's going in.
And then we
act
like
games.
Wiggins is just a guy on the court, though. Why we act like that?
He got 16 balling, rebounds, man. 16
yeah, his
rebounds.
Defense has
he
been
be
real.
Balling
yeah.
too.
He's been the one defending Jason Tatum, by the way.
And he be scoring, too. Yeah. We act like the dude is just a guy.
Yeah, it just – you know, it's when Steph or Clay score, there's a different momentum, a different wind behind their sail.
That may be true. He's just a solid player who's – not doing anything wrong, not doing anything great, just playing basketball.
Well, his defense but
we
is
keep,
great.
We keep talking about – we're not even talking about him, though, is what I'm saying.
That's true.
Like, we don't even mention Wiggins. We go over Wiggins and jump right to Draymond and Clay and then
Jordan
every
Poole.
Now and then Jordan Poole. We don't say anything about Wiggins.
It's funny you bring that up because watching game four, the thing that, like, stood out to me was – it seemed like Wiggins had a ton of offensive rebounds and put them all back. And, Jay, from a basketball standpoint, I want to know, like, how deflating is that when you get Steph or Klay to finally miss a shot and Wiggins gets the offensive rebound and puts it right back? That's got to be, like, super deflating, right?
It is, and those are super frustrating for the coaching staff when you're looking at it because those are the possessions that you can't give it back to Golden State. You have to limit them, right? Because you want to see these guys – have their last shot be on a miss because that affects you down the line. You hope it does.
I want to let everybody know that I'm going to go in for a little bit of surgery on my nose.
That's not how I sounded pre-surgery, by the way. Sounded more
Key,
like
stop it or Evan's going to yell at Jay.
Stop.
Have
behave
more baritone
yourself,
in my voice
Jay?
Pre-surgery, Key.
Jay, why are your nostrils like that?
Molly Caram.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Greeny coming up. We're back tomorrow, 6 a.m.
Pre-surgery.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay, Will and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.